Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
What's up and welcome back to the Kinda Funny Games cast. Of course, I am Tim Geddes and I'm joined by the new face of video games, Blessing Adeoye Jr.
What's up, Chum?
We have the Nitro Rifle himself, Andy Cortez.
I'm feeling pretty fucking gonk right now.
I love the gonk.
This is all real.
Yeah, we're getting cyberpunky today. And making his return to one of these shows here, fresh from vacation. Just taking a little vacation to be back here. It's Big Daddy himself, Greg Miller.
Wake up, Samurai.
And rounding out the group today, we're talking cyberpunk. So, of course, we had to invite Paris Lilly and his chair. How you doing,
fun,
Paris?
Fun fact. Very first game cast I ever did was Cyberpunk 2077.
Well, this is perfect. Having you back here. Of course, this is the Kinda Funny Games cast where each and every week we get together to talk about video games and all the things that we love about them. We do it on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and roosterteeth.com as a video, but we also do it as a podcast. Just search your favorite podcast service for Kinda Funny Games cast and we will be right there for you. But if you wanted to go above and beyond, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunny where you can get the show ad-free. You can watch early as we record it. You can get a whole bunch of bonus content and you can be a Patreon producer like Brave Athos, Jedi Master Deadpool, or Delaney Twining have done. We appreciate all of you so very, very much. If you don't have any bucks to toss our way on Patreon, that's cool. You can use our Epic creator code, Kinda Funny, on all of your Epic game store purchases, and at no extra cost to you, we get some money, and that's fantastic. Today we're brought to you by BetterHelp, but I'll tell you about that later. A little housekeeping for you. We got a lot of games to talk about here, y'all. So many different games are coming out. Previews, reviews, everything in between. So one thing that I did want to say is Mortal Kombat. People have been asking where a review of that is. We're going to be giving you a bonus games cast later this week in place of an X-Cast. So no X-Cast this week, but yay, we will do a Mortal
Kombat. How we got
Let's
him!
Go. A Mortal Kombat one review.
There's nothing happening anyway. The Xbox.
Obviously, Games Daily every day will be covering all the wild
documents
in the world of Xbox. And of course, the X-Cast will return next week. But me, Blessing, Mitchell Saltzman, and
Khalif Adams
will be doing a Mortal Kombat 1 review later in the week, which I'm very, very excited to get to.
But we're not talking about making the face.
you had me until
Khalif. We got you here. But With that all out of the way, let's get into it. Today we are talking about Cyberpunk Phantom Liberty. Greg, you were our lead reviewer on this one, so I want to start with your thoughts on what you would give this on the Kinda Funny scale.
Sure. Cyberpunk Phantom Liberty is a good campaign. I had a really good time with this. I enjoyed myself. Great performances. The game is still beautiful. It is still fun to play. The problem I found myself with as I reflected back on it and played other things and went through side content and stuff like that is that when you start talking about it being good, right, I feel like we operate on this 5-point scale, right? And so you have either a 3 that's okay or a 4 that's great or a 5 that's amazing. For me, there are great moments to the campaign, but the overall run I had with Phantom Liberty, I think, never got and maintained the 4 out of 5 region. So for me, it's a 3 out of 5. It's okay. It took me 13 hours to play through and roll credits for Phantom Liberty. Then you can tack on another hour after that to roll the new ending for Cyberpunk. Obviously, we won't spoil any of that, but that's just that. For, you know, more under the hood stuff, I started in, just from scratch on this one. You can, at the start of a game, say, you know, hey, do you want to start from the very beginning or jump to where you could just get into this Phantom Liberty stuff? I jumped straight into Phantom Liberty, rolled a new character that way, ran through it that way. Eventually, though, you know, I played it on Xbox Series S I went up to Canada and played this there, so I brought the Xbox Series X.
Had the little screen.
Had the little X Series screen that I want to come on XCast and talk about it, because that was just an amazing experience. But we'll get to that at a different time. In terms of the game, that's how I played it for the most part. When I got back home here, I used CD Projekt Red's save transfer technology to transfer my save over to PS5 and pick back up there and played it on my big old OLED downstairs with that. So had a variety of experiences with it in terms of a technical thing, but in terms of my run on it, that's what I did with it. Again, I think we're going to get into it. I know just from a two-sentence conversation with Bless, I don't think we're fully aligned, so I'm interested to get into it a bit more. But for me, it's just one of those things that, as somebody who put 33 hours into Cyberpunk at the launch and played that on PlayStation 5, obviously backwards compatible PlayStation 4 version, platinumed it, like was all about it there, I felt like when I consumed the game that way, it was very much like not so much a great RPG, but it was like a Far Cry, where it was very much, okay, cool, I'm going to go do this thing, and I'm going to do it that way, and then it'll be done, and it will rinse and repeat over and over again. And coming into Cyberpunk Phantom Liberty, that was still the case. Again, the main campaign has lots of ups, lots of downs. As you know, I've never watched a Mission Impossible movie, but for every Mission Impossible trailer I've ever seen, this would be what they were going for. They're doing a spy thriller thing, which, you know, opens, of course, with the president's plane, Space Force One, going down in Dogtown, V being dispatched to go out and help. Of course, they're promising a cure for V to go through and do, and then you're off onto this rickrolling adventure in a new section of Night City called Dogtown, where you are off trying to do this thing to save the president. And this leads you to all sorts of spy shenanigans, cool moments that I didn't see coming. But overall, when you get outside of that, it is still very much Cyberpunk 2077. And I want to make it clear, I think I was listening to a little show you might know called Gamertag Radio, where one of the best minds in the business, Paris Lilly, was talking about Cyberpunk 2.0, because not only are we getting Phantom Liberty, this big expansion, before that, you're getting the 2.0 update that's changing the skill trees and doing all these different things. My review is very much Phantom Liberty. I can talk about that, I can touch on that, but the problem is that after I platinum Cyberpunk, I put it back down. So to jump in 3 years later and go into it, like, for me, the skill tree didn't feel different. I went through and assigned my points, and I had pretty much the same character and went off and did my piece, right? Like, there's all these little things that if you were looking for how different is that from one side to the other, you'd need to talk to an expert of Cyberpunk, somebody who's played it through every update, everything here and there. But I can just talk about Phantom Liberty through the eyes of somebody who platinumed the game before and the side content that comes with it that I feel was very rinse and repeat and didn't do it, but that'll get more into the weeds. For me, this is a 3 out of 5. I think it falls very much into what Blessing and I have talked a lot about on PS I Love You before, where for Blessing, I'm putting words in your mouth, we often talk about how, or you will talk about like, DLC is not really my thing, right? Blah, blah, blah. I feel like this is a piece of DLC that I would struggle to sell somebody, oh, you have to play this. Like, this didn't, I would never be like, oh, it was great. You got to try it. You got to jump in. It was good. If you want more Cyberpunk, if you're looking for that, it's there for you. I think it trends way more towards being an action or a first-person shooter game than an RPG, which I wasn't feeling. I want the RPG mechanics, but again, we can get into that. My thought is a 3 out of 5.
So you're the lead reviewer on it. You beat it. Andy, have you beat it yet?
No, I've put in about 6 to 7 hours, maybe.
Bless.
I'm on the last mission. I put in about 15 hours.
Paris.
Yes, I have finished it, and I put in 36 hours.
Let's start with you, then. What do you think about this game, and what would you give it on the kind of funny scale?
So it's, I'll give my score first. I would give it a 4 out of 5. And it was very interesting hearing Greg's point of view. I'm actually glad that Greg was the lead review and not me, because I did not play this as just Phantom Liberty. I played this as Cyberpunk 2.0 and what Phantom Liberty and the 2.0 update was bringing to this game. I am obviously someone who's been heavily invested in this game over the past 3 years, just through the roller coaster of launch and just the updates that they've done over the past few years. I really feel that Cyberpunk hit its stride around that 1.5 update, where I was really starting to think, okay, this is starting to realize the vision when they initially showed this off in 2018. Obviously, Edge Runners came out and they started to build a lot of goodwill. So it was funny. I had been playing for a while after that point, playing different builds, just doing different things in Night City. And then when they announced Phantom Liberty, obviously it was coming out, I just put it down. I was like, I'm going to stop. I've been waiting to meet Hanako and Embers, it seems like 6 months or however long it's been. And now that I actually got it, I jumped back in and I actually didn't pick it up right there. I actually pulled an old save so I could build back up to that moment. And for me, I run the analogy that I use for this game is, if any of you have seen Cowboy Bebop, the movie, that's what this is for me, where that happened inside the timeline of Cowboy Bebop before the ending, because obviously that's when everybody was still together. But you told this side story, but it felt very personal at that point because you know these characters, you've invested in these characters over X amount of years. And that's kind of how I felt here with Phantom Liberty, where I've been invested in this game over X amount of years to where everything felt very familiar, but with 2.0, changing up the skill tree, adding the vehicular combat, you know, obviously the finally getting that police system implemented. Now we have this new section of Night City with Dogtown. It felt very familiar but new, and I was invested into these characters. Like, I look at Johnny Silverhand so much differently now after I've been playing it post Phantom Liberty, because I felt like they almost humanized him more in a way. And again, we won't spoil anything here, but the introduction of some of the new characters, but more importantly, going back to the skills, to the skill tree, the revamping of the skill tree, I love what they did because they made it more. The skills that you invest in, and I did like a Netrunner, so I obviously invested very heavily into tech and into intelligence, but the skills that you're seeing there, the perks, they made more sense. Like, okay, if I invest in this, I'm going to get to do this cool thing because of that, right? And I built up to that. Obviously, the way that they revamped the way the cyberware works now, where your armor is attached to that, now your clothing is virtually cosmetic at this point. There's still a few attributes that you'll get in helmets and things like that. Some of the new weapons, kind of the illegal underground weapons that you can get, you know, when you're in Dogtown from that vendor was pretty cool. And like I said, running as a Netrunner, you know, I'm just popping heads left and right because I've invested in it and I understood how all those skills work. So for me, it was more about the sandbox that I got with Night City that, again, I feel like this is very close to what they sold us back in 2018 when I originally saw it and I got super excited about the game. This feels very close to that for me. And it was interesting, Greg, where you mentioned this plays more as like kind of an action game for you versus an RPG. Whereas I think with the resetting of the skills, they're getting closer to it being that RPG that they promised us it would be, because now I already see the potential when I go back in. Like I said, I did a Netrunner build this time. Now maybe I'll do a solo build or something like that. I'll do something completely different than what I did now, where I can actually play the game that way and approach these scenarios differently. Again, going back to Dogtown, I think what they did with that space, it's in Night City, but it feels so much different than Night City. And I thought that was really cool as well. The airdrops that you get in there, just the way that the troops are walking around, the NPCs within Dogtown feels a lot different than it did in the core Night City. But then you leave out there and you're back in Night City, and that feels very familiar to you as well. Now with the vehicular combat that you can have a lot of fun scenarios with that. But again, you need to invest in certain skills to unlock some of the cool shit that you'll get out of that too. One thing that I did with the police system was that I thought was a neat little thing is I got up to 5-star and I took off for the Badlands, and the Night City police basically handed it off to Militech once I got to the Badlands, and that fed into the lore of what Cyberpunk has been. So that was another thing that was a cool thing for me to be able to experience. But I totally get what Greg is saying. I can see someone that has not been invested in this over the years that maybe, you know, obviously we know the launch was not great in 2020, put the game down, you're going to pick it up at Phantom Liberty, and you're not going to have that investment that someone like myself would, whereas maybe it's just okay if you're just playing the Phantom Liberty portion of it and you don't have the other backstory, you know, of the main story, you know, the relationship with Johnny and just everything that goes along with that. So I can see Greg's point of view, but for me, ultimately, this is a 4 out of 5.
See, one of the things you bring up, Harris, that I like is the sandbox stuff you're talking about. For me, that's one of the things that wore so thin to where I was like, ugh, like I'm not even like, I feel like, yes, Dogtown looks different than Night City, but one of my problems, especially after having platinumed it and put it 33 hours into it, to jump back in here and be running around Night City and Dogtown, is the fact that I feel, even though districts look different, the whole thing is just such a blur of neon and on ramps to where I think you're really missing that. Oh, here's Village Square, or here's this one building that I'll center myself off of and know all this stuff. So when I was out there in the sandbox running around doing that, it was very much like, this doesn't feel alive. And I know we overuse that word all the time in terms of it, but then it would be the idea of like, all right, cool, I'm running to the next objective and I'm running through NPCs and I'm knocking them down, but I'm not having an emergent gameplay moment. I'm not having a Starfield, I pick up a quest or somebody says something. I'm not having a Baldur's Gate, this guy fights me and I'm into a battle. It would have the skull above their head or like the night, you know, I can help the cops here or whatever. But again, it was that thing of, back to my Far Cry comparison after playing so much of this, where it is just like, that's just clearly one of the things you can do. It's them rinse and repeating stuff in there. To the point of then to jump out back to the sandbox part of it, right? Like, anytime I had to drive, I was just like, oh, right, I forgot. I don't like driving in this game. Driving in this game, I do not feel is tight or fun. And so there's like, you know, one of the things they talked in our thing is like, oh, we had all these new side quests, right? There's 17 new side quests and gigs, right? And one of the gigs is more cars. There's more cars littered around that you get. And it's like, anytime, like I did like three of them, I'm like, yo, this sucks. Like, I'm just never doing these again because I'll ride Jackie's motorcycle when I have to. I will fast travel whenever I can because I don't like this. But then when it would be these drives, it would be these drives where I could sit there and just be like, man, nothing is happening. Like, I'm driving from point A to point B to do the next thing. When I, you know, why not just let me blink fast travel there or do whatever? Like, I'm not enjoying this moment. And I felt like I had there are, like I said, great moments in the campaign, and there are great side missions too. I'm not trying to knock that. There's a really fun side mission with these two cops that I thought was great, and then there's even a sequel to that I enjoyed. But it was like, over there'd be these moments where I was actively being like, I am not having fun in this moment, and I wish I was.
Plus, what about you? You're just at the end of this game. Like, where are you at with it?
Yeah, so it's fun listening to Greg and Paris talk about it, right? And like thinking back to my review back in the day when the Cyberpunk 2077 base launched. And I opened up my notes from that review from end of 2020?
December.
Yeah, December 2020, just to see where I was with that, right? And overall, like, I really enjoyed the game, but it wasn't high in my game of the year list, right? It was one of those ones where coming into it, I was like, this is going to be my favorite game ever. And it let me down in that sense, but it was still a game that I had a lot of fun with, right? Because I got to play it on PC and all this stuff. But I still go through and I look at the cons that I had written down on my notes app, or on my Google Docs, actually. And, you know, I go through and it's the first note I have here, it's buggy as fuck, right? And I go through the bugs of consistent call error, guns floating in the air, sometimes dialogue would just pause and wait. Following NPCs can get iffy. I found a straight up typo in my game. Quest progression would just bug out in some places, yada yada yada, right? Went through a long list of bugs. I then go through and like I talk about how the map is cluttered. I talk about how the game feels like it wants to be edgy so much that it comes as a detriment, right? When the game goes into points where it feels like, man, characters can get into like a cartoonish level of stereotypical, right? Like, I go through, I talk about having not feeling like I have ownership over my character and over my story and all these things. For me, playing Cyberpunk Phantom Liberty in the last couple weeks, I feel like I am able to love this game now without compromise or caveat, right? I'm having such a fantastic time playing this game. Half of it, and part of it is the reminder of, oh man, I really do like this world. And oh man, I think Cyberpunk really has something here with its characters and its story and its style and all these things. Another part of that is the 2.0. I think so many of these updates are great, right? And I think this piggybacks a little bit of what Greg's talking about with the RPG-isms of the game, because it's been so fascinating jumping from playing Baldur's Gate 3 to then playing Starfield to then now playing Cyberpunk and being able to see the different ways in which they want to be RPGs, where Baldur's Gate is very much, hey, this is tabletop, this is D&D, like, we are going to really give you ownership of the choices you make in the story and the characters you hang out with and all these things, right? Starfield is more of a, hey, we're going to be a space sim. Like, if you want to create settlements, we're going to let you do that. If you want to be a Crimson Fleet dude, we're going to let you be that. If you want to be a Fed, we're going to let you be that. Excuse me. Cyberpunk, in terms of its RPG-isms, where I've been able to find them this time around is in the skill tree and is in how they marry all of those skill and perk and like upgrade systems to really let you play the way you want to play. And for me, I've been blown away by it. Like, you look at the skill tree, for example, right, which they've gone through, they revamped. It's like the same kind of things that you had in the OG game. So you're going through, you have the reflex ability, you have cool, you have body, you have all these things that you can level up. But then you go into a menu deeper and you have these abilities that you can now apply perk points to that let you kind of focus in on these different play styles for combat and just for general gameplay that I felt like you didn't really have before. And so now as I'm playing, I should also give context that I didn't restart my game. I'm picking up from the end of my save. So I have all these perk points sure, built up. So like, I am coming in at a, with a character that is already like, oh, I'm already deciding how I really want to play this. So I'm going in. My character is this like ninja. I can slow-mo time. If I pick up, I'm like dashing all over the place. I have a double jump and a dash. And so now I don't even fuck with cars. I jump, dash, jump, and that gets me like a good enough distance to get to wherever I'm trying to go into Dogtown. And that's been enough for me. But like with that also, in combat, I am slowing down time all over the place. I have another relic ability where like I can see critical hit points, and so I'm doing that. I'm combining that with a specking into katanas and specking into swordsmanship, where I am slicing and dicing people. And it the way I'm playing the game now reminds me of listening to podcasts back in like 2018 of people that came back from the E3 demos talking about like, oh man, and yeah, they dismembered this and it was crazy. That's how it feels like I am playing now when I get into combat with my character leveled up in this way, and I'm having such a blast, and I can't wait to level up my character even more to get them closer to where I want to be. That combined with the cyberware system being revamped as well, where it is you're going through, like Paris mentioned, you have the armor stuff that is applied there now as opposed to just cosmetic. But you can do that. You then have all these different elements of your V that you can replace, right? Whether it's your eye, whether it's your arm stuff, whether it's your leg stuff, right? And like, I know some of this was already there in the base, but they've gone through and really made the stuff work together to where now I'm like, I feel like I have such an ownership of how I play, and I'm excited to see other people's gameplay to see if the way they play is matched up. Say if they go for a cool character that is doing another thing, or if they're going for a body leveled character that is using the big weapons and doing all that stuff. That's where the RPG is coming in for me, and I'm enjoying it so much. You then get to the story, right? Which does have less ownership than what you look at Baldur's Gate or even like a Starfield. But from what you're getting out of the story and the character work and the decisions that you're making, the dialogue and all this, I'm having such a good time. I really like the story. I think it's a really cool political spy thriller, right? It's not the best thing ever, but it, again, like looking back at Cyberpunk versus what I see from other RPGs in the genre, the fact that like I get into a scene in this game and I'm talking to characters and it feels like a scene. I'm talking to somebody and they are walking around, they're doing dishes,
it's phenomenal.
Making a drink. The character models look fantastic. The lighting, the environments that we find ourselves in look fantastic. Like it's the kind of game where I feel like I can take a screenshot at any moment, and that screenshot I can make my background.
Dude, my Xbox is filled with photo mode because the game's gorgeous. But then to your point, especially coming off of Starfield, where they have understandably gotten so much shit for being Bethesda, and it's just being, I'll stand there and talk to you like this, and maybe my eyes will follow you, or maybe I'll slowly turn my head off. Like the fact that you were in there and you will be talking to a person and they will track you, they will make the drink, they will give you the drink. Yeah, I mean, like,
yeah. And the fact, and like for me, the best parts of my playthrough so far have been when I've been able to stop and smell the flowers in the way that like I love to do in these kind of games, right? And I think so, that's something that I kind of wanted more at Starfield, right? And like, it's that fun thing of seeing sort of the, some people have found that there, some people haven't found that. In this game, I'm sure some people will find that, some people won't. But I've had points where I'm doing a main mission and I'm in like a, kind of like a club type setting. And I go outside and I lean over the railing and I just look out at Night City and like, I just enjoy the moment for a second. I'm like, okay, that's cool. And I come back and there's a concert going on and there's all these cool effects. And the singer is walking down this runway and they have these lit up wings. Like they start off with one wing looking like the one winged angel. But then like via lights and all the shit, right? Like they have this cool holographic effect of like a wing flowing. And I'm like, this is fucking cool as hell. Like visually, this is so stunning and so fun to watch. And that's something that I could have just walked by. I didn't have to take a moment to stop and just look at that stuff. You know, I think the set dressing in the style of Cyberpunk is so strong. And that stuff has been blowing me away even more so this time around. I have been enjoying some of the in-world just random activities. I like the driving. And not necessarily like the, I'm with you in terms of in base Cyberpunk, I didn't love the driving either. Like the handling was weird. The new vehicle missions, one of the first vehicles I found was this souped up like race vehicle practically, and it looked cool as hell, and I started driving with it and I was like, oh, this controls perfectly. This is exactly how I want something to control. And so now I've made it my mission to find a car like that and own a car like that, and that's been fun. There are these random drops that you get now in Dogtown that you have to fight people over, and that stuff's been fun because all the loot has been worthwhile. And for me, this has been such a game I've been able to find myself getting lost in. The one more thing I'll say here, performances have been great. I really like all the characters. Idris Elba, fantastic, except for the fact that he doesn't know if he wants to have a British accent or an American accent. And like, he is in between the entire time. It is hilarious. But aside from that, like, I really like the character stuff in this game as well.
I mean, you haven't beat it yet, but just where are you veering right now in terms of on the kind of funny scale? Because that, well, everything you just said reads like a 5 to me.
It, for me, I'm like between a 4 and a 5. I think I really want to see the endings, and I also want to play way more. But yeah, like, I could see myself giving it a 5, but I'm kind of on that that back and forth there.
That's awesome. Andy, I want to hear your thoughts on this. And Paris, I'll get to you in 1 second. But first, I want to take a word from our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. I can't even count the amount of nights I lose sleep because I just can't stop thinking and my brain just won't stop talking. It turns out one great way to make those racing thoughts go away is to talk them through. Therapy gives you a place to do that so you can get out of your negative thought cycles and find some mental and emotional peace, and it can give you the tools to find more balance in your life. Some of my best friends use BetterHelp and love how helpful it can be for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a brief questionnaire, you get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. You can find more balance with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/kindoffunny today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/kindoffunny. BetterHelp.com/kindoffunny.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Kind of funny. Paris, what's up?
Oh, no, real quick before you go to Andy, one other thing I did want to bring up, because I played on PC, and the path tracing that's in it, you know, the RTX cards, NVIDIA, the whole thing. And we'll see what the comments say, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say this is the most visually impressive open world game I've ever played. Just period, point blank. And a lot of what Blessing was just saying, you want to stop and smell the roses in so many different places in that game, where you just look out and you're just like, God damn, this is just visually stunning to me. I just love, and again, this goes back to what I was saying, that I'm invested in it since 2020, that I've seen all the iterations of this game across PC, across console, etc. And to see that they did not give up on this game and they continued to iterate on it and they continued to improve not only the visuals, but obviously everything we've said with the overhaul of the skill tree, the new relic tree that's in there now, just all these different things that CD Projekt Red has done to make this game. Anybody that were to pick this game up today and play it from start to finish with Phantom Liberty and everything included, they would look and go, well, what was wrong with it in 2020? They wouldn't believe it, because obviously all the issues that it had back then, but they've 90 percentile resolved all of those and improved upon the systems in the game and made it, like I said, this open world sandbox that you just want to live in. You want to turn on the radio stations, get in your car or your motorcycle and just drive around the city and see all these different things. And that's the other thing, like the community focused radio station they added in Phantom Liberty as well. Just again, another cool perk.
Awesome. Another music is so good.
Yeah, it's really, really good. But it's just a thing of like, I feel like, yeah, look, they effed up. Let's just say that period, point blank, 2020, they effed up. Game should have never come out when it did, but they stuck with it. They listened to feedback, they worked on it, and here we are 3 years later, and it's just like, yeah, this is a very visually impressive and fun game to play in an open world setting. Absolutely. Sorry, I know I kind of went long.
Well, I wanted to add a couple more things. One, I didn't hit one bug while playing, and that was the thing that blew me away the most, honestly, for, like, again, my original playthrough having so many bugs.
Only one I had was a visual one where they made a big deal about Idris Elba changing his clothes and we were in different clothes, and then we split apart, and then we came back together and he was in his original outfit. I was like, that's weird. And then we split apart and came back together and he was in his normal outfit. I'm like, all right, that was just.
And to Paris's point about this being like maybe the best looking open world game ever, right? Like I'm kind of aligned on that. I think it's up there right next to Horizon and right next to Red Dead Redemption 2. I think, you know, where Horizon might have this game on like pure fidelity, I think this game has it on like just set dressing and how versatile the environments look and how well the environments are set up. Like this game is like they've done such a good job just creating locations for you to be in. And so, yeah, that's where I look at Cyberpunk and I'm like, damn, y'all did the thing.
Andy Cortez.
This was a kind of a tough one to get back into just because so much time has gone by. And it's one of those that I knew I was going to have to start eventually. I was like, do I start a new character? I was kind of wrestling with all of that. And by the way, Greg, you mentioning the NPC differences, and I did end up rolling a new character for a little bit. And just to kind of like, you know, I haven't re-experienced this intro with my massive PC at home. And like, I want to see how all of it looks, path trace and everything. And just, you know, those intro moments where Jackie's there talking to him and he's eating his noodles. And it's just, it's like, God, that's a person. That does not feel like a video game character. I'm way more aligned with Blessing when it comes to a lot of this. Again, I'm only, you know, about 6 or 7 hours in. But when you have an NPC, Tim, look at you and say, this goes way deeper than we ever thought.
Oh, shit.
I mean, you got me in.
Oh, like, I got it.
You got me. So when something goes way deeper than you ever thought, I'm totally into it. This whole DLC so far has been really thrilling, and I'm enjoying all the characters. I'm enjoying these lines of dialogue that I just like kind of existing in these sequences, even when V isn't talking, just having two characters going back and forth about their pasts and learning more about them. I think Idris Elba's performance is awesome, and it doesn't feel like not to like throw shade, right, but you know, there's a lot of people that have issues with Megan Fox in Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
And how, like, sometimes actors on the movies don't really know how to, you know, take their talents into the vocal booth and do, like, voiceover work there. Idris Elba, I think, is so fucking awesome in this so far. I'm just incredibly interested and intrigued by all this story-wise. I didn't expect to be pulled back into this world the way I have. There's something about the rest of Night City, though, that still doesn't encourage me to walk around and see what I can experience. A lot of Night City to me looks like super gorgeous, obviously, and it is just immaculately done art-wise, but I don't really play this game the way I do a lot of open-world games where I'm like, let me just walk this direction and see what happens. Yeah. Like, I don't really feel like I would be rewarded with anything in that case anyway. If anything is going to happen, I'm going to get a phone call or a text message from somebody telling me about a mission. Then I'll go fast travel and find out what that mission
is. Dude, it's and like booting up the... Because I made a new character and then I went back with my PlayStation character save, right? And booting that back up for the first time in years, your phone just rings for like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And like, oh, this is happening! And I'm talking to one
Where
guy.
Where you been, dude?
And while I talk to that guy, the same guy who's talking to me is sending me text messages. Oh my God, Jesus, God!
Yeah, it's like when you finally get out of like a big like NBA game or something,
yeah,
and you
yeah,
finally
yeah.
have
Airplane mode
again.
Off,
yeah.
You know? Yeah, yeah.
I will say, though, that I think Dogtown is a really awesome addition, and I enjoy how lawless so much of it is because it kind of reminds me of like the it's a weird kind of like callback, but Rage 2, just kind of enjoying the open worldness there of you'll just see random crimes and I can just go shoot people down and have a cool little gunfight against this gang of these two gangs that are kind of fighting against each other right now. I'm way more interested in that little section of open world than I thought I'd be. And I'm with Blessing. I do enjoy the driving. I have that Akira style motorcycle and I'm just driving on that, you know, doing this sort of like, you just draw your weapon. I haven't really experienced a weapon or a vehicle that does Twisted Metal type shit yet. I'm just kind of like shooting from the motorcycle, but yeah, I think the story's awesome. I'm loving where I'm building my character.
Do you like
in terms
shooting?
Of combat.
Go
Go ahead.
Do you like shooting from the motorcycle?
I do.
Does everybody like driving combat?
I think it's fine.
I did it like the three times I needed to in the story, and I was like, all right, I hate this, sucks. And so now if somebody shoots me, I just stop the car, get out. They stop their car, they get out. I shoot them to death. I get back in my car and I go about my business.
I love it. Yeah, I love just trying to be like precise keyboard mouse aiming and shit like that. But they brought in a move from Overwatch 2, my favorite character to play, Ash, where she throws a dynamite and shoots it out of midair. That's an ability now, and you can throw grenades and shoot them out of midair, and they do more damage when they explode in the air if they're near a lot of people. I love kind of just the path that I'm taking in terms of talents and abilities and getting really into the like hacking of enemies while we're in battle. All that stuff is just so like, it's so fast-paced, and it feels so good to do when we're in these battles. I think a lot of these levels in the Phantom Liberty expansion have been really well thought out in terms of pacing and getting your tension up and kind of throwing you curveballs, and you think something's going to happen, but nope, you're fucked. You got to take on this whole room, and then the music hits, and it's like, god damn, dude, this movie, like, this really does feel like the ultimate lessons learned to me, where, like, they knew that a lot of things weren't up to anybody's standards, really, when that game came out. And I feel like so much of it is so sculpted and crafted with where I'm at right now. I'm absolutely loving it. Yet another game that I'm like, god, I wish I wasn't into it so I can get back to playing the other six or seven games, right? Same thing happened with Starfield. But I'm enjoying my time a lot with this, and I cannot wait to get back to it.
One thing I do want to jump in on, we're talking about performances, Idris Elba being awesome. Keanu Reeves, I know Paris talked about this at the top, right, of like Johnny being great and a new dimension to him and stuff. Echo that 100%. Keanu Reeves' performance. And again, I know when we got our hands on Cyberpunk originally, there was like, oh man, he's really in this. It wasn't just he's doing 10 minutes in a VO booth. He's like, same thing here, really great for him. And then also I want to give a shout out to the female V, and I'm probably mispronouncing her name, but I think it's Shayrami Lee. I was a male V in my 33-hour platinum playthrough, so this time around I was like, I'll roll her, and I really liked her a lot. I think I liked her more than the male counterpart, and so I was really enamored with that performance as well.
I wanted to call out, I think the male V has improved a lot in like just remembering
his lines,
the male V's lines from my initial sort of like playing in 30, 40 hours or whatever. I do feel like there is a bit more of a serious tone when needed. It isn't always just the, you know, I'm going to be this brash sort of cocky guy.
That,
or whatever.
That's the thing I feel like I'm noticing this time around with Phantom Liberty, is that I just think the writing's better. That was one of my things with just the original playthrough of, oh man, this is great, but I gotta roll my eyes sometimes, because now it feels juvenile, because you want to be so cyberpunk, you want to be so cool, and so like you're throwing out, like, you know, when we open up this episode, I'm like, what's up, Choom? And you said something about Gonzo. Like, when we're like, you know, saying this random shit, if you can't execute on that, then it's just gonna come off cheesy. It's not gonna come off great. Mm-hmm. This DLC, the whole time I'm like, yo, I'm in this. They're throwing Choom around, they're throwing all these words around, and like the context, the situations, the way that these lines are delivered, I'm in it all the way. Like, I felt like the writing bits were actually real, way better this time around.
I also wanted to mention, again, real quick, I was going to say, Paris, that I started from my character just like Blessing did at the end of the game. I didn't do a brand new save.
Paris?
No, and just my point on everything that you're just saying is, yeah, I mean, this is, again, the result of lessons learned. 3 years later, they've gotten better. Like, I've always played as the female V. I've actually never played as a male V, but to your point, even her as a voice actress, she's improved as well. It's like they've lived in these roles now, so they're very familiar to them, and you're seeing the execution come out of that and some of the new dialogue that we're having. And, you know, shout out to Steve Blum. He's legendary voice actor. He's playing Mr. Hands, which is the fixer that you meet in Dogtown. And you know, he's fantastic too. It's like everybody was in their bag when it came to the performances that we got Phantom Liberty wise. One thing I do want to circle back with Greg is the vehicle combat. The other, and I've been running as a netrunner, the other cool thing is not just shooting your gun, is I'm literally using quick hacks, blowing up cars, you know, making them break, reverses, doing all this stuff where, you know, in combat real time, which is just another cool perk, which again, go back to the new skill tree. They've laid it out in a way that you can look at the skill tree now and figure out where's all the cool shit that I want to do depending on the build that I want to have now. And you can start speccing that along the way. I think they even have a website now where you can kind of do that ahead of time just to see what it would look like. But these are the things that they've updated now that, you know, they've gotten all this feedback and they've learned what worked the first time, what didn't work, and what can we do to improve to kind of truly make this the definitive Cyberpunk experience, you know, for this game.
It didn't take too long to for me to get back into the rhythm of having to infiltrate a big old building and seeing one camera and then hacking into that camera and being able to look through it and switch to the other camera feeds and marking all the enemies. Like, I was just like, man, this feels good to do again.
The first time I got back in and, you know, I was like, all right, quick hack.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I was like, all right, cool. I'm going to, you know, use a overheat on this guy, short circuit over there.
Let me blow up that thing to distract the enemies. Yeah, and then now I'll go like take them out. Like,
again, like the moment to moment, like, the core gameplay is good. Like, I'm not trying to say it's not. I'm not, you know what I mean? I think it's just, it wears thin for me for as much as I've done in it, or much I've done with it, I guess.
Yeah, I think to what we're talking about, too, like, this, it feels like almost my dream Deus Ex game. Because Deus Ex, you know, I played Human Revolution and loved it. I played Mankind Divided and really liked it, right? But, like, those were games that, they were smaller, right? They were, hey, we are going for, this is a, you know, action RPG, Western RPG, immersive sim, whatever you want to call it. You're going to get probably 20 to 30 hours out of it. But when we're talking about the skill tree stuff, you know, that was a game that made you pick a lane, right? They're not just giving out the, I forget what they're called. They're called like Haxes or some shit like that. We're not just giving out the skill points though to upgrade your character willy nilly. You're going to have to pick something. And with that, usually it was gunplay, stealth, crawling through vents. And then like hacking stuff, right? You had a small handful of options. Playing Cyberpunk, it feels like they took that and just expanded it out. Because even as you're talking about the hacking stuff of finding a camera and then going from there, you know, like early on in this DLC playthrough, I still had a cyberware like thing that let me hack like turrets and shit, and I'll be using it randomly, and I'm like, I'm not really built for this. Like, this is just a random thing that I have. So I'm going to replace this with something else. And now, like, I've gone full in on just being a samurai, right? Like, using my sword and using my dash abilities and, like, using pistols and shit. And, like, hearing you talk about how, yeah, you can hack into cameras and do things. And even seeing some of the gameplay footage that Bear brought up during the beginning of the episode where there was somebody who, you know, they're sneaking into a thing. They looked up, hacked one person, and then they blew up. And then another person, like, catches on electricity. It's like, whoa, what's going on here? That's not how my game looks. Instead, I think, you know, when I talk about...
You're playing Ghost Runner?
Well, no, literally, like, I am playing Ghost Runner. That's what it feels like. I am dashing all over the place, slicing and dicing. When we talk about, like, how dynamic the game can feel in terms of the cutscenes and the characters like walking around, all this stuff. I got to a cutscene during a gig. This wasn't even like a main story mission. This was a gig where I get toward the end of it. It's me and two dudes and we're trying to drive out, but then the head honcho walks in and it's him and his bodyguards. And he's like, oh, what's going on here? Right. And we get into the conversation. I'm trying to talk him down. I'm trying to be like, hey, it's all good. But one of my guys says something that fucks up the whole situation. And so the guy is like, he's kind of building up to like, all right, sick him. Like, he's about to say one of those lines to his bodyguards, and I sense it. And so I'm like, all right, I'm going to keep my finger on the L2 button just in case, because I just spec'd in my sword into being able to deflect bullets back. And so if
Genji'd him.
Yeah, like, I was like, if shit pops off, I'm fucking ready for it. And then sure enough, he says, he didn't say sick him, but I'm just going to say, he's like, all right, sick him. And as soon as he says it, I bust out my sword and like bullets come flying at me and I deflect all of them. And it was the coolest feeling thing ever. And that was in the middle of like what essentially is a cutscene, right? But like, I think the way that they've built this game does give you that sense of, oh, I'm going to put myself in this movie scene and play it out the way that like my badass character could play it out. And yeah, like I think that stuff works really well.
Production values are just absolutely insane.
It's so
in some
good.
Of these cuts, or in some of these side quests, in particular one where you do some drugs to kind of hallucinate.
How dare you talk about?
And
yeah.
My God, playing that little moments like that could be missable, I think, are just really impressive.
Andy, I want to know what you think about all the new NVIDIA stuff, because I know they are really showing off a lot of the RTX tech and stuff in this one. Like, did you get to play with that stuff?
Yeah, it's really impressive. I mean, again, the amount of, before the show started, I was telling Paris, like, just photo mode has been, it's during a lot of these important cutscenes with characters where I'm needing to listen to dialogue, it's tough to not hit the end button and then pop into, like, let me just get a quick little photo right here. Yeah, the full path tracing is awesome. Again, path tracing on the level of what film does, where you're not just having metals reflect and then calling it ray trace reflections, or having the shadows in between like boxes and the ground and calling that like ray tracing ambient occlusion. This is like every light ray in this game behaves as it should. And I've just been taking a lot of before and afters of certain, you know, just little environments and inside of a club and inside of a bar. It is, it's unbelievable. And then you kind of forget about it because you're just so in there, and then you turn it off and certain moments will just kind of go, ooh, god damn, that's really how it actually looks without path tracing turned on. I think the tech is just super impressive, and I'm running it on my RTX 4090, and I have frame generation on as well, so that's creating an extra frame for frame rate, and I'm just, you know, everything's just awesome right now.
one other thing to add to what Andy's saying, because we're similar setups. We're both on RTX 4090s. And to be clear, I have not played on console. So when my visually impressive statement, that is strictly I'm talking about PC with path tracing enabled. And midway through, NVIDIA sent out the update. So now it's doing DLSS 3.5. as well, and it's doing some more AI stuff. It's improving performance, the whole thing. I want to say I'm definitely staying about the high 90s at 4K with path tracing on, with DLSS 3.5 as far as frames go. But again, just everything Andy said, the path tracing, the lighting is just it's incredible. It's just absolutely incredible, especially night scenes. I think Barrett was even just showing one a second ago. You just want to stop and just look at it. Like, wow, this is actually in the game. I'm playing this right now. This isn't just a screenshot or some kind of CGI video. This is the video game that I'm playing right now. And, you know, credit to CD Projekt Red and NVIDIA for, again, just all the work that they've been doing the past couple of years, because Cyberpunk has pretty much been their poster child from an NVIDIA standpoint for all of their RTX and DLSS technology that they've been doing the past few years.
I'm playing on PS5, and the adaptive triggers are pretty cool.
Well, there you go, everyone. That has been our review.
Whoa, 2077.
Phantom Liberty.
On the right here, I listened to the Gamescast from December 2020.
Uh-huh.
And this was still when you, Tim Geddes,
yeah,
contemplated playing this game.
Yeah.
I think, honestly, even for me, who's the lowest on the thing, but still enjoyed myself, you would really, I think, like the campaign.
Yeah, I mean, I ended up beating Cyberpunk 2077.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. There's something about it. I'm like, I don't know.
I think you would like Phantom Liberty.
Yeah, fuck.
I think you should do it.
God,
I think
there's time. What are you telling me, man?
It's Mission Impossible.
It's Mission Impossible.
Yeah. Shit,
it's okay. It's sick as hell.
We'll see.
It is Mission Impossible. That's a great way. Yeah, that's
what I said. Why are you giving him credit? I said it.
I wasn't
listening. Good job, Andy. That's a great comparison, Andy.
That's a great comparison, Andy.
Appreciate it.
Tim, I would suggest watching Cyberpunk Edgerunners on Netflix.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that as well.
If that didn't hook you to want to go play the game, then nothing will, in my opinion.
I mean,
there's definitely
some
callbacks in the game now to that as well, which is pretty cool.
I sent Tim the cinematic trailer that they made for this and was like, Tim, even if you're not going to play the game, play this big and loud, because this is one of the coolest cinematic preview things, and it is... It blew my mind.
And I still have it because it got too late and Gia went to sleep and I was like, I need to do this right. So when I get home tonight, I'll do it. You got me.
You
got
to do it.
You got me. But thank you for that, Greg. Let us know in the comments below what your hype levels are for Phantom Liberty, what you're planning on doing, whether it's re-rolling a new character, using your OG. What's up? And also, what do you have for lunch? Please let me know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Paris, thank you so much for joining us. Paris, we'll return to the X-Cast next week. But until next time, I love you all. Goodbye.